Morning, family.
Morning.
Happy Father's Day. Thanks for staying. Hope you've had a wonderful morning. Hope you will have a blessed afternoon. I've already got a beautiful card from my daughter and from my wife and a wonderful present already. So I hope you've had a good morning as well. Today, I want us to think about something, about how to be a blessing, how to give a blessing to your children, about the power of a father's blessing. Father's Day, I don't know about you, but it stirs up all these emotions inside. For some of us, they're positive. For some of us, they're really negative. Maybe you had an absent father. Maybe your father was abusive. Maybe your father, you don't even know who he is. In our day and age, it's very common. Some of you do have precious memories, and I praise God for that. For some of us, we have very negative memories. Maybe your father has passed away, and maybe it stirs, you know, like myself, I'm thinking about my stepfather who raised me. He passed away in 2010, so I think about him today. Stirs emotions in us. You know, often on Mother's Day, we like to show moms our appreciation. Moms, we appreciate you. We get to Father's Day, we're like, okay, let's beat up the dads. You're not doing this right. You're not doing this right. Isn't that true? It is. Today, we're going to do something different. Today, we're going to talk about the power of a father's blessing. And I don't want you to tune me out and say, well, I'm not a dad. This message is not for me. It is for you. Because Proverbs 18, verse 21 says, life and death is in the power of the tongue. We have the power with our words to bless and to curse, to hurt, to heal. We have power with our words. We have power to bless people and encourage them. I want to encourage you dads today to really think about how you can apply this to our lives. Because whether we realize it or not, we have the power to influence our family's destiny. By the simple words that we use, the blessing that we give our children, our wives. Granddads, you're in this too. Any man in this room, you have influence over your families in some way or the other. We have the power to give a verbal affirmation that will, for a lot of people, change their destinies forever. So let's pray today as we begin. Father, we thank you today for that we can give thanks today for our fathers. And when we think of our fathers, Father, we first of all think of you. And for some of us, we may have had negative upbringings and we struggle with calling you Father. Lord, help us understand that you're not like our dads, that you are perfect and that you are love. But I pray on the flip side of that as well, that Father, that you'll help us also to understand our fathers are not perfect and that we do need to forgive and work through areas of our lives that were negative. We pray today that we will honor our fathers, that you will help us, Lord, learn the power of a blessing, what it means in our lives. Please teach us today, Holy Spirit, how we can learn how to give a blessing to our families. In Jesus' name, amen. You ever think about the way the word blessed is used? In our culture today, we say, God bless you. You know, either you've sneezed or we just want to say, as you're leaving, God bless you. We say, the Lord bless your journey. Too blessed to be stressed. That's a real popular one in the inner city. It was a blessing to be here today. Have a blessed day. We hear the word every day of our lives, but do we really, really understand what it means? I don't think we do. I think if we understood what it meant, it would change us. Literally, it's from the word eulogia, which where we get the word eulogy, which means to speak well of. When you're at a funeral, they're giving a eulogy. They're speaking well of that person. It also means to show favor. So when you say, God bless you, you're saying, may God favor you. May He speak well of you. Okay? When you say, God bless you to somebody, that's what you're saying to them. When we, fathers, when we bless our families, that's what we're saying to them. May God's favor rest on you. May the Lord speak well of you. That's what it means to bless. When a man blesses, he is affirming his family. He's acknowledging that you're special to me. You're speaking well of that family. You're showing your favor. And oh, how our families need that today, children especially. They need to know that their fathers favor them, that they are special. Often we pick out the one thing that a child is not doing, and we focus on the one negative thing instead of focusing on the positive. This is what you did right. Good job. Instead, we focus on the negative. When a man blesses, he's doing those things. The history of a father blessing his family goes all the way back to God the Father. God the Father is the one that began and created this world, giving a blessing. For example, started with Adam and Eve. So God created mankind in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them. God blessed them. He blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. He blessed them. Genesis 12, when he's giving a blessing to Abraham, he says, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will show favor to you. I speak well of you, Abraham. I will make your name great. You will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. They will be shown favor through Abraham, whom the Messiah would come eventually. Matthew 3, verses 16 and 17, as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Jesus needed an affirmation from the Father. He needed to know he was favored. How much more us? Do you know the last thing Jesus ever said before he left this world? What was the last thing Jesus ever said? Luke 24, he says, when he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and he blessed them. Those 11 disciples, those failures, those men that blew it, he blessed them. He blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. I think it was the priestly blessing. The Lord found in Numbers chapter 6. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. I think that's what he said. We can ask him one day. But I think that's probably what he said. Notice, if it's important to God, it's got to be important to us. So what is the importance of a father's blessing? Why is it so important? Why should we do it? Well, just ask Esau. You know the story in Genesis 27? Esau sells his birthright for a bowl of beans. Obviously didn't care anything about it. Didn't value it. Jacob also stole his blessing from Isaac, his father. And you can imagine the cry that Esau has when he comes into his father Isaac, and he's wanting that blessing. He's wanting his father's favor, but his father has already given the blessing. It's already been said. He can't take it back. And don't you have a blessing for me too? Bless me too, Father. That is the cry of a generation today. Bless me too. We have a generation of young people who are hungry to hear a father's affirmation. We have a generation that has never heard their father say, I love you. They have never heard their father say, you know, I believe in you and I want to bless you today. They have never heard a father do that. And we wonder why our children are in drugs and alcohol and gangs and failing in school and having all these problems when a father does not communicate his approval and deep love for his children. They're going to start looking for counterfeits. Guaranteed. Counterfeits. To fill that hole. To fill that gap in their heart. I speak from experience. I didn't feel affirmed. So I looked for it in drugs and alcohol, bands, anything to give me affirmation. I was looking for a counterfeit. It's interesting that we have a generation today. If you look at the statistics, it's very sad. If a girl does not feel loved or affirmed by her father, she's going to start looking for it in other places. Through sex with young men, lesbian relationships. If a boy is not affirmed or feels loved by his father, he's going to start looking it for other places, as well as drugs and alcohol and all those other places. He's going to put his, a lot of men, if you talk to them, who are workaholics, they have poured their lives into their work. And if you understand what's going deep down in their heart, a lot of these men who work 70, 80 hours a week, they are trying to impress their fathers. Because their fathers never gave them affirmation, they never gave them love growing up, so they thought, if I work hard enough, maybe my father will love me. So you have generations, and it starts at this age. It starts at a very young age. Children know when they are not affirmed and loved, and they're going to start looking for counterfeits. Don't be that mom or dad that doesn't affirm your children. Many of you have seen the movie Field of Dreams. It's a great film about Kevin Costner's the star, and he hears a supernatural voice. It says, build a baseball park. And so he starts building a baseball park. And you know, the often misquoted words of that movie are, build it and they will come. No, actuality, the movie says, build it and he will come. Who's the he? It's his dad. The movie has nothing to do with baseball. It has to do with a reconciliation of a father and a son. And why is it every man in this room, I guarantee you every man in this room, hey, maybe you've seen the movie, you can't watch it without crying. Because it stirs something in us. We want to be approved and accepted by our fathers. It's a powerful film. And it speaks about the whole human race. 7 billion people in this world. And I guarantee you, we all have something in common. We all desire to be loved and accepted by our families, by our mothers, very important, but especially by our fathers. How many people in this world, can you imagine the impact of a father's approval on the human race? Fewer divorces. Fewer gangs, fewer inmates, unwed mothers, not as many. Workaholics, won't be too many. We have a hurting generation of people, young people. And if their fathers would just give them approval, and a lot of fathers are saying, yeah, but my son's doing something I don't agree with. I don't agree with what he's doing right now in his life. Have you ever thought that maybe your son is rebelling against God and rebelling against you because you've never affirmed him? You've never affirmed your daughter. You've never said, I love you. You're precious to me. I know I don't agree with your lifestyle and with the things you're doing right now, but I want you to know I love you. When you say, I love you to somebody, it doesn't mean that you agree with their lifestyle. It means that you appreciate for who they are. They're your child. Whether they're in jail or on a crack addict or whatever, they're still your child. And we need to affirm them in that light. You see the power of a father's blessing today. We need it. Our culture needs it. Why should a man bless his family? Well, five reasons. A man blessing his family is an act of worship. Hebrews 11, verse 21, by faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshiped as he leaned on top of his staff. You can imagine, I always like imagining that, what Jacob was like, leaning on his staff. It's an act of worship. Secondly, men are the spiritual priests of their household. The buck stops at our desk. We are responsible for the spiritual, not only physical being of our family, but the spiritual beings of our family. Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 and 7, these commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. You get the idea that talking about God is an important thing in your life as a father, as a husband. I like to find spiritual moments. They happen every day. Moments when something happens and we can say, hey, what do you think God would do with this situation? Find those moments with your children this week, with your wife, and ask and use it as a teachable moment, just a 1 minute or 2 minute thing, nothing. You know, some dads like to get family together, have a devotional. Those are good things. But for us dads that struggle in that department, a lot of times it's just best to capture the moments where we can teach our children. A man's blessing builds both his spiritual and physical family up. You know, edification's not just for the church. You are the priest of your household. Ephesians 4:29, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Again, the power of a man's words. You know, our voices are low and they get loud, and there's a time and a season for that. I can remember my grandfather raising his voice at me, and it was just it's totally threatening, the voice was. When my grandmother talked to me, it was very gentle and kind. But my grandfather was, and it scared me. And I don't realize it, but I raise my voice. And when I raise my voice, I sound threatening. Men, isn't that true? We got to work on toning things down a bit when we talk and build our families up with our words. Fourth, a man blessing his family strengthens his marriage. I love this passage from Colossians 3:19. Husbands, love your wives, and do not be harsh with them. Again, it goes back to the words. Isn't it interesting how often God brings us back to our mouths, what we say? Wow. Why should a man impart blessing to his family? Because statistics show that children that feel loved and accepted by their fathers generally succeed in life. Generally. Okay? It's interesting. I heard recently of a prison minister in Florida. There are 72,000, roughly, inmates in Florida. Guess how many are Jewish? Out of those 72,000, 580. Wow, that's kind of a low number, don't you think? Yeah, less than 1%. Why do you suppose that is? It's because in the Jewish household, on every Friday when they commence their celebration of Sabbath at night, the father imparts a blessing to his children and his wife. Every week he does it. Does he say the same thing every week? No. He picks out something that child or that mother did that week, and he appreciates and affirms them. That's why there's only 580 inmates in Florida prisons that are Jewish. It tells you that a blessing and affirmation are some of the most important things a man can do for his family. So that's why it's important. Okay, so how do I do it? How do I give a blessing? I mean, I want to do it with my family. How do I do it? Well, there's two ways. By your touch and by your words. And I want you to think about the first one. How many times, ladies and gentlemen, how many times can you remember when your dad hugged you as a child and affirmed you? Touch. Touching someone on the shoulder, affirming them, speaks. Listen to what Jesus, he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on them, and blessed them. He blessed them. Disciples were like, hey, don't waste your time doing that. That irritated Jesus. If children come to him, that obviously tells you something about him. Notice the power of touch, affirming and loving your children. Why do I have to speak in order for there to be a blessing? Well, I like what Bill Glass says. He says, a bell is not a bell until it's rung. A blessing is not a blessing until it's spoken. We got to speak. Can't just think about it. Think, well, I might do it later. Speak it. Speak that blessing into your family's life. What do you want for your children? What do you want for your wife? Speak it into their lives. I notice in Genesis 49, there's an interesting passage about where Jacob is at the end of his life, and he gathers his 12 sons, and he wants to affirm them and bless them. And if you notice, real interestingly enough, and I don't think we appreciate it in this culture as much as they did then, but when a father spoke a blessing into his children's life, he was speaking into their future. Do you realize the power of a father's words when you're young? I can remember my stepfather calling me stupid as a child. He quickly, he apologized later in the day for it. But it isn't interesting that we remember the one negative thing our dad said. We don't remember a lot of the positives, maybe, but we remember the negatives. Speak into your children's future. If you tell them they're stupid and they're dumb, guess what? They're going to act like that, more than likely. If we call them failures, they're going to live like failures. Because our words have power. Patriarchal blessing, it blessed their relationships and their vocation, you know? Ask God, bless, look at your children's lives. What are they good at? What are they talented with? Do you realize the person they marry influences their destiny? Think about those things. When you bless a child, you're blessing for spiritual and physical prosperity. So they could be a blessing to others. Not just for money purposes, but to be a blessing to the poor. And you give a blessing when you say, may God fulfill his purposes and will for your life. That's what a father's doing when he blesses. Jacob knew his children. He knew their strengths. He knew their weaknesses. And it's interesting if you look in Genesis 49 about, for example, let's just look at the life of Benjamin. Look what he said about Benjamin. Jacob uses a metaphor. He uses an animal to describe each of his children. He says, Benjamin is a ravenous wolf. In the morning he devours the prey, in the evening he divides the plunder. If you understand anything about a wolf is a very persistent animal. It is a persistent personality. It has those things, qualities. Jacob looked at his son Benjamin and says, you're a persistent person. And because of that, in the morning you will work, in the evening you will be a persistent person in your life. And did you know anything, if you know anything about the tribe of Benjamin, they were the most fearsome warriors of all the 12 tribes of Israel. It's amazing what a blessing will do over a child. How would you describe your children? You know your children, their qualities, and their weaknesses. We need to appreciate our children and grandchildren for who they are, not for what they can or they can't do. And I don't have to tell you this, but don't live your life through your children. We know that doesn't work. My uncle did it. My uncle had two PhDs, a brilliant man. And it was amazing. I'd always go over to his house, and all my cousins would be over there, and he would just sit out and map out everyone's life for them. You need to go to this college, and you need to do this and this and this. And he tried to control their lives. And what did all of my cousins do? They never did anything that he said. They rebelled against him. We need to appreciate our children for who they are, not what they can't do. And when we speak a blessing, we are simply asking God by faith to accomplish all of His prayer. It's a faith thing when you pray a blessing over your children and your wife. Why don't you look at your outline real quick? It's on the back here. This is just a sample of a blessing. And I think it's important that you use your own words when you bless your children. You bless your wife. This is an example for a child. My child, I love you. You are special. You are a gift from God. I thank God for allowing me to be a father to you. I bless you with the healing of all wounds of rejection, neglect, and abuse that you have suffered. I see you have the gift of compassion, and I want to affirm that in your life. God will fulfill His purpose and plans for your life. I bless you with overflowing prosperity, enabling you to be a blessing to others. I bless you with spiritual influence, for you are the light of the world and the salt of the earth. You are like a tree planted by rivers of water. You will prosper in all your ways. I bless you with a depth of spiritual understanding and a close walk with your Lord. You will not stumble or falter, for the word of God will be a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. I bless you with pure and edifying relationships in your life. You have favor with God and man. You are blessed, my child. You are blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. Man, imagine if a child heard that, how they would feel. Wow. My father believes in me. When should a father bless his family as we close today? I think you should bless a child in all aspects of their lives, even before they enter this world. While they're in the womb, you could speak blessings to your child. At birthdays, I sing at every birthday of Sarah. I've tried to take a moment and verbally bless Sarah and say, may the Lord make you like Esther, somebody who's faithful and will not give up during difficult circumstances. I try to pick a different woman every year to affirm her, to show her that I love her, I believe in her. At graduation, at birth, at the wedding, a man should be in a child's life from beginning to end, constantly blessing and affirming that child. I love that song. Maybe you haven't heard it in a long time, but it's The Living Years by Mike and the Mechanics. You know, it's that, say it loud. I can't sing, but you know how it goes. Please don't make me sing. But there's a real powerful, you know, that's interesting. In 1989, when that came out, it won a Grammy for the Song of the Year. It touched a chord in a lot of people. And one of the lines in that song was, I wasn't with my father the day he passed away. I didn't get to tell him all the things I wanted to say. I just wish I had told him in the living years. Maybe that time has passed for you. That's okay. You can tell your father in heaven, hopefully. I remember writing my dad a poem in 2004, my stepfather. I just wanted to tell him how I felt about him, how much I appreciated him. I'm glad I did. I wasn't expecting him to die in 2010. We got to take the time now to affirm our dads, our moms, our wives, our children. Because we don't know what's going to happen the rest of today, tomorrow, next week. We need to do it in the living years. James Dobson had a great-grandfather named J.W. McCluskey, who every day this grandfather, his great-grandfather would, from 11 to 12, he would lay aside that time every day to pray. And he would specifically pray for the generations of family that would follow him. And he would ask God, Lord, please help all of my children and my children's children, every generation, to know you, to love you, to honor you, to glorify you with their lives. And he was affirmed by God before he died. He felt like that prayer was going to be answered. And if you look at James Dobson's life, all of his family are pastors. He's the fourth generation pastor in his family. And he says, you know, when I get up and speak before people, I often wonder if my great-grandfather is not looking down and smiling and saying, yes, prayer is answered. Why don't we believe in prayer, guys? Why don't we believe in it? It will change the destiny of our families. A prayer, a blessing, an affirmation from a father. Are you praying for your future generation? They're not born yet. Are you praying for them? What kind of legacy are you going to leave? What are they going to say about you? What are your great-grandchildren going to say about what kind of faith he had, what kind of faith she had? We are influencing generations by the choices we make, by the prayers we give, by the blessings we give. We are creating destiny in people. And there's power in a father's blessing. I know what some of you are thinking. That's a great message, Chris. But I hate my father. I can't stand him. He made my life miserable. He abused me. He hurt me. And I can't think positively about him. The one thing I think we have to work through, and forgiveness is not easy, is to ask God, the Father. Say, Lord, you know my past. You know my dad. And I struggled so much. Help me to forgive him. God will help you answer that prayer. And by the way, God the Father is not like our fathers. If your father abused you and hurt you, don't see God like that. Like I said last week, I want you to see God as the compassionate, accepting Father that when we mess up, will embrace us, will forgive us, will give us a hug. He's the one running across that field. He's the one coming to you. And you're like, man, I've messed up. I'm going to say, you know, I'll make me like one of your servants, man. I'm just... He's already reached him. He's embracing him. Oh, I'm so glad you're back. I'm so glad you're here. Oh, I'm so glad you're home. Welcome home, son. Get a calf. Let's party. Let's celebrate. My son who was lost, he's now returned. That's God the Father. That's who we should see God as. Not a God who is just looking down on us, waiting us for us to mess up so he can send us to hell. That is not Bible. That's Satan. So I don't, you know, today, if I can encourage anybody here today, God has already spoken a blessing over you. If you have responded to the gospel of Jesus Christ, you are special to him. He speaks a blessing into your life. You are precious to him. Every person in this room, regardless of your past, regardless of the mistakes we've made, you are precious. And God the Father speaks a blessing over you today. And he says, welcome home. I'm glad you're here. If we can assist you anyway today through prayer, through baptism, beginning your walk with God, won't you come as we stand and sing?